John 7, verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house and to be in this class, Lord. I appreciate these guys. Lord, I believe that most all these guys, they really do love you genuinely and they want to do right. Lord, I pray you would just help them with that and strengthen them in that direction, Lord, and in those decisions. I pray you would help us to learn the things that Tim just talked about, Lord, really solid stuff, Lord. We thank you that you're so good to us, Lord, that you've taken care of us, that you did everything for us. You died on the cross. All we have to do is accept it by faith, Lord. We're thankful for that. God, I just pray that you would please help us in the next few minutes, Lord. Help us to gain something from this that would be helpful, beneficial to us. And that, God, you would just teach us to be more like you. Help us to love you more, Lord. Pray that this would just get across understandably. The guys would hear your voice through the preaching, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Appreciate you guys standing. All right. Yeah, this is literally, some of the stuff that he just hinted at, I'm going to go a little deeper into. So that's pretty cool. Guys, we think about Jesus Christ himself, okay? Since he is the originator of all this, and we think about Jesus Christ himself. Guys, the kind of person he was, Acts 10:38 tells us he went about doing good, right? He went about doing good. He went about healing people, helping people. He was merciful. He's gracious. He was forgiving. My question is, if Jesus was like that, why does the world hate him, right? Why do they hate him? Why is it that, like Tim's talking about, that we talk to people, and you ever meet somebody and they're really nice and they're talking to you about all that? You can talk about sports, they'll be the nicest person in the world. You can even talk about certain political things and they'll be the nicest person in the world, right? The moment you bring up church, religion, the Bible, Jesus specifically, they turn you off. And it's just like it goes completely cold, bam, like you hit a brick wall. Why is that? What's the deal? I've been in situations like that. People that I work with, and they're nice people, and talking to them is great. But then you bring up those type of things, spiritual conversation, man, it the whole temperature changes. It goes from, 75 at night to like 32 and freezing. You're just like, what happened? What happened with this? The cold front blow in. It completely changes the temperature of everything. Why does the world hate Jesus? What's their problem? Right? You go, we're not going to go there, but in Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage? The world is angry at Jesus. They hate him. Like Tim said, usually the only time you hear his name is in a cuss word. Right. Okay? So why does the world hate Jesus? What I want to preach about real quick as I can be, is this. What's their problem? What's their problem? But the main topic, just so you know, is why does the world hate Jesus? I hope this will help you learn, okay, and help us when we're trying to stand for God, that we know where we're coming from. I'm going to give you three words, all right? They all start with E. First one, exaltation. I want you to write these down and remember these. Exaltation, all right? For this, go to John 5. We have three references for this one. Exaltation. Why does the world hate Jesus, okay? Number one, exaltation. Write it down, exaltation. John chapter 5, verse 18. All right, the Bible says this. Actually, I'll pick it up in 17. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Exaltation means this, guys. The world hates Jesus because Jesus said clearly, I am God. Okay, that's why that's one of the reasons the world hates Jesus. Listen, like we talked about, Ethan, I don't think the world would have such a problem if he were just a prophet. Okay, now he is a prophet, but he's so much more than that. Okay, if he were just a teacher, Kevin, I don't think there'd be an issue here.
Yes.
If he were just a good guy and that's it, I don't think there'd be an issue. If he was just a guy that did some nice things, did some miracles, helped some people, healed some people magically, I don't think there would be a problem. But when he got up there in John 5, and we'll check out a couple other references, and told these people, I am God, they couldn't deal with that. They couldn't swallow that. And by the way, guys, in this verse, it says when Jesus said that God was his Father, they understood that to mean that he's making himself equal with God. Kevin, we think when you say, I'm this person's son, this is my Father, we think lower. In that day and age, if you said you're the son of someone, you meant equality across the board. Okay? So anytime you're reading the Bible and it says he is the Son of God, don't say, oh, he's less than God. No, don't read that. They understood it to mean that he's equal with God. That's why in Philippians 2 it says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's God. Listen, he wanted the people to know that he is God. So in this reference, he is showing that he is equal with God. They want to come up with these half-baked possibilities. He was just a good guy. He was just a healer. He was just a teacher. He was just this, just a prophet. He was just a good moral teacher and instructor for mankind. He taught some nice things about loving your neighbor and forgiving people and all those kind of things. Guys, did he teach those things? Yes. But is that where it stops? No. It goes much farther than that. Jesus is God. The world can't take that. They don't swallow that, okay? So he is equal with God. He is God himself. Go to John 8. We just dealt with this one. I'll try to be quick with this because we have already gone through this material pretty much. But guys, not only is he equal with God, he's eternal. Okay, so we know that he is God. This is another proof that he is God. All right, in John chapter 8, verse 58, I read it already. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. We already explained this, but 2,000 years before Jesus was standing there in Israel talking to these Jewish people, he said, Abraham lived 2,000 years ago. Before Abraham showed up, before he was born, before he showed up on the sonogram that they didn't have back 4,000 years ago. All right, he says, but before Abraham popped up on this earth, I was already in existence. And they knew what he was saying. That's why in the next verse they took up stones to kill him and to stone him to death. Why? Because they understood when he said, I am. That's from Exodus 3 when God is talking to Moses and he says, I am that I am. It's like I said, the word Jehovah means self-existent. Listen, guys, God doesn't need anything to keep him going. God goes all by himself.
Right.
He doesn't need something to sustain him or to supplement him or to give him some strength or to give him a boost throughout the day or to give him some energy. Listen, he goes all by himself. He's self-existent. He's self-sufficient. So he's equal with God. He is God. He's eternal. And the only person that is eternal is God. Like we talked about earlier, there's never been a time when Jesus was not. Listen, he never had a beginning. He won't have an end. He lives forever. I know that may boggle your mind, but listen, if you could understand everything about God, do you really think he would be God? Right? Maybe you would be God because you would understand everything. We can't understand everything about God. I remember as a kid, I'd ask my dad, how old is God? Well, he's always been. I'm thinking, that can't be. I can't get through that through my mind. But there was never a time, there was never a moment, there was never a second or millisecond in the history of the world, and even beyond that into eternity past, where our God was not in existence. Our God was not alive. He's always been. And when he said before Abraham was, I am, they understood what he's talking about. One more reference in this area is John chapter 10. I love this one. So John chapter 10, verse 30, all right? So he's equal with God. He's eternal. We dealt with that in John 8, 58 and 59. And then John 10, check out John 10, verse 30. All right? Verse 30, it says, I and my Father are one. What are we saying there, guys?
We're the same.
We're the same, right? He's not saying we're both nice, we're both, you know, we both come from the same place. He's saying we are the same in essence, in nature, in who we are, in character. We are the same. God the Father has all power. God the Son has all power. God the Father has all knowledge. God the Son has all knowledge. That's what he's saying. God the Father has all wisdom. God the Son has all wisdom. I and my Father are one. Now, don't you think the people in that crowd just loved what he just said? Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Man, these guys are ready. They're on it, right? They must have their rocks in their pocket or something. Because every time Jesus says something along them lines, you should not have said that. All right? But notice this, guys. This is so clear. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? He's saying, guys, all I do is do good. I heal people. I help people. I teach people. Teach them how to live. So for which of those works do you stone me? Specify what you're charging me with here. Verse 33, it makes it so clear. Hey guys, time out. Don't ever, ever, ever even tolerate if someone says, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Nowhere in the Bible does he say that he is God. He doesn't come out and say the exact words that I am God, but it's so clear. If you're understanding the Bible, like Tim talked about, if you turn your brain on and read your King James Bible, you would be an idiot not to understand. If you just read it, you'll understand what it's talking about. He is proclaiming himself to be God. There's no question about it. And verse 33 is one of the clearest references of that, because they understood exactly what he's talking about. They have their rocks in their hand. In verse 33, they say, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself, what? God. You see that? Do you think they were unclear about what Jesus was claiming to be? They knew exactly what he's saying. All right? John 5, he says, I'm equal with my Father. John 8, he's saying, I'm eternal. Before Abraham was, I am. And in John 10, 30 through 33, they knew exactly what he's saying. He said, I and my Father are one. They're trying to stone me. He said, why are you stoning me? He said, because you said you're God. All right. The exaltation. Guys, he has the highest position. He should be on top in our lives. He should have the highest priority. Hey, guys, when Jesus speaks to you through his word, through the preaching, through you're just reading your Bible, or he speaks to your heart, do you listen? Do you obey him? Does he have the highest priority in your life? If we don't watch it, man, we'll put our Bible to the side. All of us have done it, probably. We'll put our Bible to the side and our phone buzzes. What did they say? I'm not saying you can't text on your phone every once in a while, but when Jesus speaks to you, is it important? He is God, guys. And he should have the highest privilege. When you get the chance to serve him, guys, that's a privilege. It's not a burden. It's not that you're beat down by it. It is a privilege that we get to serve our God. Have you made your pick? Is he God in your life? I'm not going to have you turn to this one right now, but John 8:24, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, again, unless you believe that I'm God, you shall die in your sins. He's saying, if you don't believe that I'm God, you're going to go to hell. Very simply. All right? Exaltation. Point number two. Expose. So why does the world hate Jesus? What's their problem? First of all, they can't tolerate that he says that he's God. And by the way, let me hit this before I get to point number two. A lot of people say Jesus was just a good man or a good teacher. Guys, he claimed to be God. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, any man that says he's God, either he's a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. We take option three, that he's Lord. But guys, someone can't be a good person, a good moral teacher, and teach people good things and say, I'm God. Either it's true, he's lying, or he's crazy. So that breaks it down right there. Either he's liar, he knows he's not God, and he's tricking the people, he's lunatic, he really thinks he's God, but he's not, or he actually is God. All right, I hope you grab a hold of that. Exaltation number one. Number two, expose. Why does the world hate Jesus? Well, we read it in John 7:7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Jesus exposes the world's sin. That's another reason why they hate him. They can't tolerate that Jesus said he's God. Just a good man? Okay. Just a miracle worker? All right, fine. You just do some cool tricks? All right, fine. You just teach people some nice principles of how to live life and get along with their fellow man? Okay, fine. But you say you're God? We can't tolerate that. And number two, Jesus exposes their sin. Guys, Jesus pulls the lid off on the raunchy, nasty wickedness that's in all of our hearts and says, that is filth, and that will send you to hell forever. People don't like hearing that.
Right.
Okay? He says, I testify in John 7:7, I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. And Jesus' testimony is credible. He knows everything. And he says, the works of man are evil. Also in John 15, this is like a Bible study through the book of John, because most all of our references are in John. But John 15, follow these verses if you would. John 15, verse 22. Jesus says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You know what a cloak is, guys? It's a covering. something to cover it up. It's something that they can excuse it away. Verse 24 of the same chapter, he said, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. So Jesus exposes their sin. Guys, that's why when you give people a tract, sometimes the conversation changes. That's why the mood changes in the room. That's why all the eyes get turned on you and everybody gets angry and you think, what's the deal? What's the problem? Hey, we love Jesus. Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has saved us from our sin. Jesus has helped our families. Jesus has done great things in our life. But when they think of Jesus, they think of this stuff. Okay, this is why we need to learn. What's their problem? And this is not something that we shy away from people and say, I know you hate the Lord. This is stuff that we can teach them and say, you don't need to hate the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, He exposes your sin, but why does He expose their sin? Why does He expose our sin? Why? Somebody help. Yeah, why does He expose sin? Is He just bringing out the dirty laundry because, I mean, you know, He wants to make Himself look better and He wants to make us look like terrible people?
Show the consequences of it.
Ultimately, He pulls that sin out and we say, oh, that's nasty. But we can either say, Lord, help me. Please forgive me. Or we can say, how dare you pull that out? You understand? You can rebel against it, get mad at it and say, how dare you call me out? Or you can say, Lord, that is who I am. I admit it. I'm a horrible person on the inside. God, help me. That's the person God saves. But see, guys, we're the ones that said, Lord, I admit what I've done. And that's why we're His children. The world says, I remember giving a tract to a cashier at Wawa years ago, years back. And Kevin, they were reading it like I'm walking out the store, but they're reading it, which is kind of awkward. Let's be honest. All right. And the person says, the Bible way to heaven is a girl. Bible way to heaven, for all have sinned. I don't know her coworker's name, but I'm gonna make it up. Tina. All right. Tina, this thing says I'm a sinner. No, I'm not. And I'm thinking, are you serious? Are you serious? Now, maybe they don't understand, right? Maybe they don't understand what sin is. But the world, that's what they see, guys. They see, he's calling me out. I don't like that. Hey, guys, the doctor presses on something, and if it hurts, I mean, we may not like that, but it's for our ultimate good. Mm-hmm. He's trying to heal us in the long run. Same way with our Lord. And then John chapter 3, you don't have to turn there if you don't want, but John 3, 19 and 20. Bible talks about men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Listen, guys, if I'm doing a bunch of raunchy, wicked, nasty stuff, vile stuff, I don't want everybody to see it. I want it to be covered up. I want it to be in the darkness. I want it to be covered and no one can see what's going on. What Jesus does is He shines the light on it. What do they say? When you shine the light, the roaches scatter. And guys, that's what's going on. They love the darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want us giving them a tract. They don't want us inviting them to church. They don't want us talking about Jesus because that's shining the light on them. They say, I don't want that. They don't know what's good for them. All right? We need to keep shining the light. We need to keep giving the tract. We need to keep giving them opportunities and say, hey, you don't need to be turned away from this. Jesus is the best thing that could ever happen to you. He can save you and forgive you and forgive all that stuff that you feel guilty on the inside about. He can forgive that and change you. Guys, I was trying to pick up kids this morning on the van route. You want to talk about how wicked mankind is? My goodness. I don't know what was going on, but in a near apartment to where I was knocking, I think it was some dad, some guy was going off. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know what was going on. There wasn't much I could do. But I'm just like fearful for whoever else was in that apartment with that guy. You know what, guys? You say, I would never do that. Well, thank God. Thank God that you say that. But you know what? We all have that wickedness in us. And if we get away from the Lord, like the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know how bad you can be. You know, that's one of our problems.
We think, oh, well, that guy's really terrible, but I could never get that far. Mm-hmm. You listening today? This is not the message today. But some of us will say, I would never go that far. You don't know how far you'd go.
Yeah. I don't know how far I'd go. That's why we need to stay close to the Lord and say, Lord, I never want to test that out.
Right.
I never want to push the envelope. Kevin, you don't know how bad your wicked heart is. And I don't know how bad my wicked heart is.
Yeah.
It's a pit of filth and vileness, guys. And if you jump into that, you can't stop the train halfway through and say, stop, time out. I've had enough.
You can't do that. You jump into wickedness and sin, it keeps going and going deeper and deeper. And you get in over your head. But guys, the world everywhere we go is just filthy. Everywhere we go. All right? Listen. Jesus pulls the lid off. Jesus shines the light into it. And that's why they hate him. They're not comfortable with it. By the way, guys, if we preach the way that we should and preach the Bible, we don't hate anybody. Okay? We don't hate anybody. But our message, it should cut across the things that are wrong in your life, my life. And if somebody comes in here with a wicked lifestyle, we're not trying to be mean and nasty to them. But guys, we cannot compromise the truth. And it's going to make people uncomfortable. Now, again, they have a choice. Either they can humble themselves when they're called out. Either they can humble themselves and say, Lord, you have to help me. You have to fix me. Or they can get angry about it. Say, how dare you preach that? I'll never come back to this place. Well, you know what? Sorry to hear that. But you miss out. Okay? You miss out because Jesus could fix you and help you. And listen, we've all been there. We've all been there, sitting in the pew, sitting in the chair, and we're getting pounded on in our hearts. Nobody may see it on the outside, but we know what's going on. Listen, you have a choice when that happens. Either to humble yourself, submit to it, or to reject it. Listen, their choice is this. Either they love their sin or they love the Savior. All right? Why does the world hate Jesus? What's their problem? Exaltation. He exposes their sin. Point number three. Exclusive. Exclusive. And what do I mean by that? Exclusive, that he is the only way of salvation. That's what I mean. Kevin, if he said he was just one of the ways, or that there was plenty of other options of how you get to heaven, just what Tim was referring to, there's plenty of other options. I'm one of them. I'm a good one. You may want to try me. I have the best rate, you know. I have 5 stars. He didn't say he's one of the ways. He didn't say I'm a good option to get you there. There's plenty of different ways. You can take this way. You can take this mode of transportation. John 14:6, and you guys know this verse, but don't ever forget what it's saying. Don't hear it so much that you tune it out and you forget what it's talking about. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the end of the verse, he's saying nobody gets to the Father. Where's the Father? In heaven, right? He's saying no one gets to heaven except by me. You got to come through me. John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Listen, guys. This was a couple presidents ago, Obama. He said, you know what the problem that I have with Christianity is? It's so exclusive. They say that you either get Jesus or you go to hell. You know what, guys? You know what we say? True. We can't back off of that. We can't back down from that and say, oh, sorry, Mr. Former President. Well, that's not exactly what we're saying. No, that's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. That Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I'm a good way. He said, I am the way. The only way to get to heaven is what he's talking about. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Exclusive means this, shutting out all others. It's limited. It's restricted. Guys, that's what we believe, and that's why the world hates it. All right? Jesus is God. They can't swallow that. They can't abide by that. He exposes their sins. He pulls the lid off the sewer and says, that's what your heart is. That's what's going on inside you. And the world says, no, I'm not. I'm a good person. By whose standard? All right? And then, point number three, he's exclusive. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, I won't have you turn there, but another reference for you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what it's saying? You can call on a lot of names, but those names can't get you to heaven. There's only one name that can get you to heaven, and that name is Jesus. It's very clear. He's single. He's solo. He's strict. The verses that Tim read earlier, I was going to read. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He says, but narrow is the straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's like this huge road with millions of cars, the beltway going, and everybody's going that direction. Then there's this little road off to the side with a sign that says, Jesus is the way to heaven. Hey guys, that's the picture right there. Jesus said there's not a lot of people going on the little road, but
you know what? That's the road to heaven.
That's exactly how it is. Every other road leads to destruction. And guys, this is a serious decision. A serious decision. Ethan, can you go to 1 John 5? I'll have you read it in a minute, and then I have another reference. I'm going to read these two references, make my comments, and I get you guys out of here. All right? I'm reading Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. This is when Jesus was just born, and they bring him into the temple, and this guy Simeon, who was an older man, makes this prophecy about Jesus. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against." You know what it's saying? I mean, Jesus is just a baby here, but this man understood who Jesus is. He said he's set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. You know what he's saying? Based off of people's decision about this baby, they will either fall into hell or rise again, go to heaven, based off of their decision about this baby. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Hey guys, same thing applies to us. When we give out tracts, when we tell people about the Lord, their decision about Jesus will mean their eternal hell and punishment and torment, or their eternal bliss and happiness and blessing in heaven. It's all about Jesus. And then 1 John 5, verse 12.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not.
There you go. You have Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. So why does the world hate Jesus? Why do the heathen rage? He does good. He helps us. He helps us live better lives. I mean, Kevin, what's wrong with us telling teenagers stay away from drugs? Right? What's wrong with us telling people don't drink or don't mess around with women and all this kind of stuff? You shouldn't be engaging in this kind of activity before you're married and all this kind of stuff. What's wrong? What's so wrong with it? Why do they hate us so much? It's because we're connected to Jesus. And guys, I'm fine with that. You know what? I'd rather be on his team and hated than be accepted by the world and be against Jesus, right? Why does the world hate Jesus? What's their problem? The exaltation? He says, "I'm God." They can't swallow that. They're not okay with that. But you know what? It's the truth. He exposes their sin. He calls them out. Hey, guys, when we give a tract to some guy, we may not know this, and I am not trying to discourage you from giving out tracts. We need to do it even more. But you know what? Sometimes people are going to give us a negative reaction. You know why, Kevin? We give them that tract, and you know what they see? They don't see you're invited to Woodlawn. They don't see the Bible verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. They may eventually if they break through it. But you know what they see? You know what this guy's trying to get me to do? He's trying to get me to stop cheating on my wife. He's trying to get me to stop clicking on those dirty pictures. He's trying to get me to stop cussing it. Listen, I can say what I want. I can do what I want. How dare you tell me what to do? That's what they're seeing. That's what they're sensing. And guys, you know what we got to say? Listen, man. That stuff is bad for you. That stuff will lead you to hell. You know it's bad for you. What you need to do is surrender yourself and humble yourself before Jesus and let him take you, change you, and fix you, and turn you into a different man. And Jesus can do that for anybody. But guys, that's why the world hates Jesus. He exposes their sin. He is God, and they can't tolerate that. And he's exclusive. Guys, we don't believe that he is one of many ways to get to heaven. We believe he is the only chance that anyone ever has to get to heaven. Alright? So that's why the world hates him. Alright? I know that's a different kind of message, but I hope that'll be a help to you.